Lost and Found. That's the title of my message this morning, taken from this portion of Scripture. And I would think everybody here in the sanctuary this morning, you have your own personal stories about things that are lost and that you've found. I know I have some stories, lots of stories about losing things and then finding them. And I would like to begin this sermon this morning, today, to tell you a story personally about something that I have lost and something that I found. It wasn't long after Vonda and I was married that I was in the office of the place that I was working at that time, and I was walking into the office, and I was coming back from the warehouse of the place that I was working, where I was employed. And all of a sudden, I noticed on my hand that my ring, wedding ring, was gone. And I said, well, you see, Vonda had bought me the ring, but I hadn't at that point had it resized to fit, so it was loose on my hand. And it was gone. I thought, oh, no. You know, I could just see me going home and said, I lost my ring today. She said, yeah, right. Where's your ring? And I thought, okay, what am I going to do? So I said, I began to look every place that I had walked. I went back to the office where I was sitting. I got down on my knees. I looked under the desk. I looked under the chairs. I looked all around the other desk. I went back. I went to other places I'd been in the sales counter, and I looked, and people was asking, what are you doing? Because I was down on my hands and knees crawling around trying to find, and I said, well, maybe it's in the warehouse. So I go out in the warehouse, and I thought, oh, no, where am I going to start? Because also, when people come in to buy, if the counter is really busy, they will call me out of the office to come and help with the sales needs. And so here I was. I said, well, I remember I went here, and I was down on my knees in the warehouse looking around, and I thought, oh, no. I was scared to death because I thought, it's no way I'm going to be able to find that ring in all the places that I had been that day. And all of a sudden, under one of the shelves where I was down on my hands and knees, I saw my ring. I reached for it, and I was laughing, and I was happy, and everybody come around, slap them on the back. I found my ring. You know, when you lose something, you panic, and you feel desperate, but when you find it, oh, how exuberant you are, how happy you are, how you want to tell other people about what you've experienced. I found it. You know that feeling? You ever lost something and then find it and know how happy? You know, many of you might have lost rings, or you might have lost other precious, expensive jewelry, or you may have lost money or other things. You know that feeling? How wonderful it is when you find it? Well, you see, it's in that mood of lost and found, of losing something precious and then finding it, that we approach the story that Jesus told about this parable of the lost sheep. Jesus tells the story of something that was lost and that was precious, was found. And it's a story about a lost sheep. Now, usually you don't think necessarily a sheep is something to be too concerned about, especially if you had 100 of them. So you lost one. So what's the big deal? Or what's the big deal once you find it necessarily? Well, it's important to understand. You need to understand the context and setting of this parable that Jesus was telling in order to understand the twist that Jesus puts on the story and the twist that Jesus wanted to teach the religious people of that time. So here's the setting. You know, the parable's addressed to the scribes and the Pharisees, and particularly the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The scribes and Pharisees were the most religious people of the Jewish people. They attended church every Friday night. They tithed. They were the big financial supporters of the synagogue. They didn't eat meat, pork that they weren't supposed to. They didn't use any four-letter words. They didn't say such things when they hit their thumb with a hammer. They were always present for the rally Sunday that they were celebrating, and they thought, you know, we are the good people. We are the found people. In other words, we're not the lost. We're not the outsiders in the synagogue. We're the good people. Now, the insiders of the church, they felt pretty good about who they were and how they lived their life and how God felt about them. Now, this was a problem because Jesus was attracted to the so-called outsiders. In other words, the religious people thought those that were inside the synagogue, they're the good people. That's the people you associate with. You don't associate with the people outside of the church, those that are lost, those that are the bad people. But Jesus didn't associate with the people inside. Jesus associated with those that the religious people said you shouldn't be around. In other words, Jesus enjoyed the tax collectors, the most notorious ones that the religious people didn't like. Jesus liked the camel drivers, and he liked the sheep herders, and he liked the tanners, all of those whom were outside of the church and were considered bad. These scribes and Pharisees came up to Jesus one day, and Jesus, knowing their attitude, knowing what they were thinking about the outsiders, Jesus told them this story about the lost. He said, you know, the story we just read, there was 100 sheep, and the shepherd got one of them that was lost, and he left the other 99 out there in the field, and he went out looking for them. He was looking and going through the brush and the brambles and over the ravines, and he was looking for that sheep. And the people that were listening to Jesus, they were smiling. They were saying, yeah, this is a good story. God always goes out and finds the lost. God is looking for the lost. The people outside of the church, the tax collectors, Jesus is looking for the tanners and the camel drivers. And as Jesus continued, the shepherd found the lost sheep, and there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who truly repents than over the other 99 good people who don't think they're lost, who don't think that they have any need for repentance. Pharisees sensed that Jesus was talking about them. And they didn't like that idea, that Jesus was implying that somehow they were the ones who were lost. The Pharisees thought for sure they were part of the in crowd. So Jesus, we didn't read that, but if you'd go right behind this story, you'd find out Jesus tells another parable to these Pharisees. He said, well, you know, there was a woman who had 10 coins, and she lost one. And she swept the house, and she was down on her knees, and she was trying her best to find it. And when she finally found it, she was rejoicing. She even invited the neighbors to come in and to rejoice with her and to have a party and to celebrate that she had found her last lost coin. So Jesus was just kind of hammering the Pharisees and the religious leaders by saying, look, there's more rejoicing over the one that was lost than the many that you already had in your hand. So what does this parable say to us today? What does this parable have to say to us 2,000 years later to your life and to my life? Is this parable only to the Pharisees and Sadducees back there 2,000 years ago? Or is it for you and me today? And if so, what is it saying to me, to you? What does this parable mean? Well, first, our God is a God who comes after us when we're lost. Our God is like a shepherd who searches diligently for a lost precious sheep. Our God is like a young man who searches intensely for his precious wedding ring, symbolic of his love from his bride. God is always searching that which is lost. That's the way God is. And ever so often we think that maybe God's given up on us. Maybe we've rejected him too many times. Maybe we've said no too often. Maybe we've dabbled in something that's not good too often, and that God has given up on us. But that's not so. Our character seems to tell us sometimes that what are we going to do? You know, God seems so far away. I don't feel joyful about my salvation. I don't feel joyful about being a Christian. I don't feel joyful about my salvation. Or any, in other words, maybe it slipped away from me. Maybe it, even doubting, maybe it's not what I thought it once was. But this story tells us clearly of God forever wanting to find us, forever wanting a relationship with us. Now, I need your imagination. I want you to imagine with me something here. So you put yourself in this story. Use your imagination. You're now living in a house, okay, adjacent to a large forest. Okay, so you're in a house, and there's this huge forest out back, and you've got this yard that's all fenced in around your house, and there's a small gate there. If you go to the back of the house and go out the yard, you open the gate, and it leads into the woods. Okay, that's where you're living right now. And all of a sudden, you're taking care, and you're solely responsible. You're the only one there with your four-year-old grandchild, or maybe your child, and they're playing in the backyard. So here you are in the backyard playing with this child or grandchild, and the telephone rings. Now, your cell phone's laying on a table inside the house, and so you go inside and you answer, and you're engaged in an intense conversation a little longer than you realized you were. And you come back, you leave the house, and you go into the backyard, and you begin to look around, and the child is gone. And you see the gates open, and all of a sudden your heart is stricken with panic and fear, and you had this huge lump in your throat, and you can't breathe, and all of a sudden you said, where did it go? What happened? What do you do? I think that you wouldn't be able to contain yourself to stay there at the house or in the yard, that you would have to go through that gate and you would go into the woods and you would begin to search and shout the name of that child, trying to locate them. You would be shouting the name of your child or your grandchild. You would be very afraid and panicky, and your heart would be beating wildly because you were trying your best to find that child. Now, why? Why are you like this? Why would that be of a big concern for you? Why would that be your reaction? We all know why. Because your love for this child is overwhelming. I can see my grandchildren that I brought in here this morning. One of them had wandered off that way. I would be heartbroken, stricken, because I love my grandchildren. And I care about them, and I care about their well-being. Because I talk to my grandchildren. I hold them. I love them. I engage with them. I interact with them. And this child is more precious to me than my own life in ways. My children, grandchildren are more important to me than the car or the house or other material things that I might have. Why is that? Because those things don't love me. They can't love me back. but my grandchildren can. You know, prayer is often like I think of a child. You ever seen a child come to a parent, a grandparent, and do this? You know what they want? They want you to pick them up. And when we come to God that way, asking God, pick me up, hold me in your arm, draw me close. That's what God wants too. God knows that. But here we have this child that's lost in the wood. And that's a concern for me. And if you're imagining in this story, it would be a concern for you because you love that child or grandchild and they love you. And so it is with God and us. When we wander out through the gate from the safety of God's backyard, God has the same reaction as a loving parent. And God comes after us. But why is God that way? Why does God react that way? Because we as human beings are God's most precious, valuable possession. Our God who loves us and who receives love from us. Let me explain. The other week, Vonda and I were camping up toward Mabry Mill. And one night as I walked outside, the night was clear and the stars were filling the sky. And it was like, oh my, the sky was brilliant with these sparkling lights in this darkness away from any big city. And so you didn't have the interference of the lights. And the sky was just brilliant and beautiful. And the next morning, when I got up early out to build a fire outside, and the sun started coming up, and it was beautiful colors of gold and ruby and red and yellow, and it just took my breath away. And so that night with the brilliant sky and the next morning with the natural beauty of the sunrise, in spite of all of that beauty and spectacular golden colors, here I was sitting in the dirt realizing that I'm more valuable to God, I'm more precious to God than this brilliant sky and all the wonder and the brilliant sunrise and the beautiful colors, that I was more precious than all of that before God. And why? Because God and I talk together. We give and share love together. We're friends. Or coming at it another way, why didn't God stop with creation on the fifth day, when all the world was so wonderfully made with the brilliant stars and sky and all the things that were there? Why didn't God stop there? Why did he keep going? Why did he continue on and make man? Why? And where am I? Well, because God continued in his creation, because he saw you and me, the creation of us, as more valuable than all the rest that he had created before. Because we were made for a relationship with God. We were made to share love with God, a giving and sharing of conversation and companionship. And so when you and I become lost from God, this is deeply upsetting to God. We are much more precious to God than the inanimate diamonds in the sky and the golden colors in the horizon. You and I, when we talk to God, that is why we were made, is to be engaged in a relationship with God. All right, put yourself back into the backyard when the fence was there around this house in the darkened woods and this four-year-old child or grandchild was gone. Why are they more precious than all the other things that we have, the jewels, the rings we wear, our bank accounts? And when they are lost, what is your reaction? The same as God when you and I are lost. Okay. There's one more story. There's one more point to this story of Jesus. The Pharisees thought that they were found. They were safe. They were in the synagogue. When in reality, they weren't. God was pointing a finger. Jesus was pointing a finger and said, "You are the lost." The question is, can you come to church every week, be generous in your offerings, say your prayers, show up for church events, and still be lost? That's what Jesus was trying to tell the religious people of his day. And the answer is yes. It could be then for them, and it could be now for us. This story for today could be about us when we're lost from God. Let me have your imagination one more time before I end this message. Let's say it's a holiday, like Christmas is coming up, and you're going shopping at the mall. When you drive into the parking lot, you see that the mall is just horrendously crowded, and there must be, the stores are full of people. And you search to finally find a place to park. It's probably not close to the doors, but you go into the mall, and it's so crowded, people everywhere. There's a flurry of activity, and several groups are there, and they're sharing music all around. They've got sounds all over the mall and the decorations. And you, again, with your four-year-old child or grandchild, you're holding hands. And so you're walking into the mall, and you're walking in the store, and you're bumping into people, and you go through this mass of humanity. And you and the child are looking at all the beautiful sights and the lights and hearing the sounds and looking at the display. And then just for a moment, that hand that is holding you releases. And that child is no longer holding your hand, even though with all the bumping, you don't really notice it at the moment. And the child goes in one direction and you go in another, but you're not noticing this is happening. And in this mob of people has come between you and your child or grandchild. And you momentarily, the child is lost. And you panic. You ever had that happen? I don't know if you have, but I have had children in large places that have gotten away from me, and all of a sudden I couldn't see them or didn't know. Especially when I was in Chicago and I was in seminary. I had one of my children that happened at a mall. Now, the child, just enamored by all the sights and the sounds, not paying attention, and it's going in a very dangerous direction. The child is lost, at least from my perspective. And on a number of occasions, this happens in our life. In other words, we lose our grasp with the hand of God. And we go wandering, totally absorbed in our present life and what we're doing, cheerfully going about our jobs or our homes or our busy schedules or our church or a thousand other kinds of events that fill our calendar. And we're not even aware of the fact that we're not holding on to the hand of God anymore. It all happens all the time, both to the religious Pharisees of yesterday year and to religious church-going folk today, like you and me. It is the story of your life and mine at times. We're so busy and so lost that we don't even know it. This story for today is not about the people at Lakeside who don't belong to the church. This story, as Jesus told it in the parable for today, is not about us needing to evangelistically go out and find other people. Nor is this story for today intended for someone else, you know, like your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister or mother or father or someone you work with. It's not for somebody outside there. This story is about you and me. When we get lost from God, when we lose significant contact with God, when we're no longer praying to God every day in that love relationship, when we're no longer picking up our Bibles every day and reading, knowing that we are in communion with God, it's when we no longer understand that we are in love with God. This story is to point out that sometimes when we lose contact with God, we don't realize it, just like the Pharisees did in Jesus' day. And they felt comfortable being Pharisees and Sadducees, but Jesus said, oh, it's so sad. You are lost. And sometimes we get complacent and feel like that we are in the place we should be with God. And when I'm sure that Jesus could look to us and say, you know, the sad thing is, you've lost. You've let go of the hand of God. You've lost that engagement you're supposed to have with God. And so what is this parable about? It's a story that God says, I'm looking for you. I want you to realize that you need to turn around and you need to look at my hand and you need to put your hand back into my hand and come back to God and grab those hands that are extended, searching frantically looking for you to give and to take love from God, to give and to share life with God. And when you do, this gives God such great pleasure and joy. There's more rejoicing in heaven over the one who's repented and returned than all the others that feel they don't have any need to repent. When we finally come to our senses and wake up and return to a loving and living relationship with God, there is great rejoicing, not only in heaven, but in our hearts too. Maybe it's time for you and me to be found again. Several years ago, I received a phone call from a mother in another church where I served at the time who was extremely upset. And I could hear the panic in her voice, and she was explaining that she had a preschool child that was lost. And this is a true story. She was missing. And she had called and looked neighbors, and she called me, and the child had left the home an hour before, walking down the driveway of on his way next door to his grandfather's house. His grandfather lived close by. However, he never showed up at his grandfather's house. And there was an immediate extensive search launched for this missing child. And after another hour of panic searching, a neighbor repairing a fence on his property about a mile away from their home drove up to this house of this lady that was frantically searching, and he had the missing child. The child had wandered away all the way that distance. That mother dropped to her knees, and she was so happy to see her son that was lost, and the tears were flowing down her face, and she began to kiss and to hug and to just caress with all of her might her child. She was so thankful. And Jesus says, once you were lost, but now, in the presence of God, here's my hand. Be found. God is here today searching for the one who is lost. Is it you? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we come into your presence this morning thanking you, knowing that your love never fails, Father. You love us so much, and you search for us no matter what. You never give up in that search. You're always calling and loving and seeking us. And so, God, if there's anyone here this morning that feels distant from you, separated from you, Father, feel in need of your spirit and love to come into them anew. Oh, God, may they make that decision this morning to say, Lord, here am I. God, I come again. Somehow I've gotten so distracted and busy that I've just let go of your hand, and I want to put my hand back in yours again. And I want to receive that love, and I want to rejoice with you, Father, that I have been able to be found. God, thank you for loving me. I come and give you my heart, and I praise you as I ask this prayer now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we stand together. May you never fail. God loves you so much, brothers and sisters. You're so precious to him. And I just pray that you will put your hand in his. Let him lead you from this place. Let him love you. And let him be the one, as he finds you, to make you safe, to restore you to where you need to be. It is in God that we find our life and being. Go from this place in his love. Go in his protection and strength. And go in peace, for God is with you. Amen.